dealing with deceit with discernment. Let's hear from the Word of the Living God, Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 1, from verse 1 to 3. Dealing with discernment with deceit. Dealing with deceit with discernment. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more. This is the word of God. God is truth. God's word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The first item in the full armor of God is the belt of truth. And we read in Revelation 12, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Time and again you read of the devil deceiving the nations, the devil deceiving the whole world. Satan is deceiving nations today. This is a constant theme in the Bible. Time and again, the command comes, do not be deceived. And yet this is a command that's being broken all the time in the world today. The vast majority of Christians that I meet around the world are deceived. Deceived on so many levels, from science through to news, contemporary events, history, even Bible teaching itself. It's staggering. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And yet the fact is most Christians are very ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan confuses, divides, and conquers. He corrupts and conquers. Time and again you can see this confuse, divide, and conquer, corrupt and conquer strategy coming into the society. And Satan's best tools in this? Hollywood. Entertainment industry, run by antichrist, cocaine-sniffing pagans, pedophiles and perverts, rapists and antichrist blasphemers. And yet the average Christian seems to think that they are just getting some neutral entertainment, whereas the people running Hollywood hate Christ. This has been so well documented. The vast majority of them are perverts, pedophiles. They are people who are antichrist criminals, drug addicts, and they have made an industry of blasphemy and exported their vile perversion throughout the world. So, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you know that the vast majority of Christian young people today in the United States who call themselves Christians, born again, Bible-believing Christians, approve of homosexual marriage? The majority. Now, where does that come from? It wasn't that long ago, it was a crime. Completely unacceptable. Hollywood has managed to inoculate and indoctrinate an entire generation into thinking that what God calls an abomination, perversion, is now perfectly acceptable. And one could mention so many other things as well. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 is warning us of his fear, his deep concern that our minds could be corrupted. Christian minds are corrupted. Dr. David Noble, who spent his life, 60 years of his life, in biblical worldview training, founding the summit, writing Understand the Times, Mind Siege, Know the Truth, Battle for Truth. He has documented how time and again you can see that Christian minds have been corrupted. Most of our theological seminaries are now theological cemeteries, which question whether Satan exists, question whether heaven and hell is real, question eternal judgment, deny literal six-day creation, embrace evolutionism, and one after the other, you're seeing colleges and not just colleges, but denominations in the United States in particular, but also in Europe, abandoning the biblical stand that marriage is between one man and one woman, and starting to embrace or accept the possibility that you could have same-sex marriages. This is just one of many examples. Churches have come to not only accept evolutionism and accept that eternal judgment is not real but somehow symbolic and that there's not a literal hell. I remember when I first joined Hospital Christian Fellowship, the first mission that I worked for, Francis Grimm was most angry, we're talking about 1979, because IVP, InterVarsity Press, had just taken their belief in eternal judgment out of their base of faith. Now we're talking about 1979, 40 years ago. InterVarsity Press, IVP, major publisher, went to the trouble of taking one of their articles on the base of faith out because they found the doctrine of eternal hell is offensive to modern sensibilities. Well, maybe it is, but it's the truth. It's what Jesus taught. You can't accept the authority of Christ without accepting what he taught. And Jesus taught more on hell than he taught in heaven. Most of what we know about hell, we've learned from the lips of Jesus. If you've got a red letter Bible, it's in red letters in the Gospels. Jesus is the source of most of what we know about eternal punishment in hell. He spoke more about hell than heaven. It was very real to Christ. You cannot say Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you don't accept what he taught, including on eternal judgment. And marriage. Jesus taught that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's the way it was made in the beginning. So yes, many people's minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 speaks of whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The Apostle Paul is writing that many in this world today are blinded, spiritually blinded. They don't believe what the Bible teaches. They don't believe what our Lord Jesus Christ revealed. The light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, the image of God, doesn't shine in their dark minds and hearts. They're in darkness. Why? Because the God of this age has blinded them. If we want to uncritically accept what the world teaches us, we will be deceived, our minds will be corrupted, we will be in darkness. And I'm sad to say that you meet people like this all the time. I was just this week talking to a Christian from a fine Christian home, brought up on a fine Christian mission, who has accepted just about all the propaganda that the world's got to say out there on a whole host of things, from history, through economics, all the way through to contemporary, right down to believing that our present president of this country is the best president we could have. He saved this country, he strengthened the rand, and all these things saying, but where do you get this from? Well, obviously, university. This is so illogical. And yet, you speak to these people, they've imbibed the propaganda of the age. Nelson Mandela saved this country. Cyril Ramaphosa is God's man for the hour. But then, to be honest, the head of the African Christian Democratic Party, Kenneth Meshu, in Parliament, said the same himself. He stood there, to use the Afrikaans expression, smearing honey around Ramaphosa's mouth. You're God's man for the hour. God has chosen you. God has raised you up. God is speaking through you. God is using you. And you could just see Ramaphosa grinning from ear to ear, Cheshire Cat smiles, watermelon smiles all over the ANC and EFF ranks. As the head of the Africa Christian Democratic Party wasted his few minutes that they allocated to him to speak with acting like a praise singer to the ANC. This is a case of where our minds have been corrupted from the simple teachings of Christ, straightforward. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering or you're scattering. To Jesus, there's no neutrality. You are on his side or you are against him. Plainly, Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC, the Abortion, Nepotism and Corruption Party, they're not on Christ's side. What has Cyril Ramaphosa done to combat the murdering of farmers? Has he been to one single funeral of a farmer who's been murdered? Has he made statements against it? Has he mobilized and commanded the police to give this a high priority and deal? Has he instructed the commanders to be remobilized? What has he done to protect the farmers? What has he done to deal with blasphemy? What has he done to stop the destruction of trucks? We have had, officially, 1,400 pentechnicons, that's these 18-wheeler delivery trucks, 1,400 burned and looted, or should I say looted and burned in that order, this year, so far, this year. That's, and the year's not over yet. Costing 1.4 billion rand in destruction or theft of property. Just taking the delivery trucks, which you can imagine, who pays for that 1.4 billion? The customers, or the taxpayers, as the case may be, but you can be sure the criminals aren't being dealt with. In many cases, they know exactly who's done it. Like in Didorens, where the people had dropped from one of the pedestrian bridges a concrete block through the window into this trucker, and he was dying in there while the people scrambled all over him, and we know all this because of the video cams that they've got inside these trucks. And they trampled this poor man to death while they looted everything around, and he died. And it was right next to the squatter camp at Didorens. Now, honestly, they looted this whole truck of all these things. How difficult it would be to search for them, anyone who's got stolen property, prosecute them. Mm-hmm. There's video footage. I'm not aware of a single arrest having been made. Has Cyril Ramaphosa, in the 21 months he's been president, has he prosecuted one single person for corruption? Has he managed to gain any of the money that's been stolen from this country? According to the African Union, 33% of the total gross domestic product of this country, GDP, 33% is stolen by government corruption. And we're not even talking about taxes. We're not even talking about inflation. We're not even talking about normal crime. We're just talking about government corruption. A third of the gross domestic product. This is colossal. And yet, you have an intelligent person from a Christian family, a man who comes from a fine mission upbringing, who believes the rubbish that Cyril Ramaphosa saved the country, saved our economy, and look how he strengthened the rand. What did he strengthen the rand? No, well, the rand strengthened so much percent after he became president. Well, we still are sitting at about 15 rand to the dollar exchange rate. But what it sounds like exactly the same as what we had 3 years ago under Zuma. Well, what's changed? No, well, the day after, forget the day after, these market fluctuations between day to day is irrelevant. The picture over the whole year is what you need to do. And also, how many people believe these things where the police put out some kind of statement and statistic? We've seen a 1.2% drop in this variety of crime from last year. Okay, but how does it compare with 30 years ago? Or 40 years ago? Oh, well, then it's like 33,000% higher. But this is the thing. They like to look at market, this and that thing, compare this year with last year and this week with last week. That's irrelevant. The big picture is that this country's been looted. I'm old enough to remember that my first mission to Europe back in 1988, 1,000 rand covered my air tickets to Germany, to England, to America. 2.5 months on the road, traveling across many countries, 1,000 rand covered all my air and other transportation costs in the space of 10 weeks. Now, how far will 1,000 rand get you today? I remember when I went to Europe and the rand was stronger than the dollar. I remember when the rand was stronger than the pound. That's back in the 1970s. So for people to suggest that somehow or another our economy is doing well under Ramaphosa, honestly, what a lot of nonsense. This man is a pathological liar. He's a clear communist. And then people say, but what a great businessman he is. Well, what business has he ever done? He was the chairman of the negotiating committee. He was the chairman of the constitutional committee. And he wrote into the laws BBBEE, Black Economic Empowerment. And he demanded that these companies hand over a whole lot of free shares, and he just accumulated most of them to himself and didn't pass enough on to others. So he became a billionaire without any investment and without any business work. Now, that's theft, in my understanding. I don't see how that suddenly becomes a brilliant businessman. This is what Christian young people in our country are believing. They're believing the lies and the propaganda. That is why we are commanded in Ephesians 6, verse 11 to 12, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And the first piece of armor, the belt of truth. Truth matters. Satan is deceiving the nations. Under the duties required in the ninth commandment, the Westminster Larger Catechism states, the duty of preserving and promoting truth. The duty to stand for the truth and to do so from the heart. The duty to speak the truth and only the truth in all matters of judgment and justice. The duty to speak the truth at all times. The duty to study and practice everything noble, true, lovely, and of good report. Now, the ninth commandment requires us to stand for truth, to speak up for truth. The amount of times people say, oh, but you mustn't say the truth because it could offend. That's going to upset this person. It's going to put that modern-day idol in a bad light. Well, yes, whatever can be destroyed by the truth should be destroyed by the truth, deserves to be destroyed by the truth. Lies bring bondage. The truth sets us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth does not fear investigation. Truth stands. The truth endures. Truth conquers, said Jan Hus, the great reformer of Prague. Truth conquers. Under the sins forbidden ninth command, the Westminster Standards includes the sin of giving false evidence. Do we get false evidence all the time? The sin of lying. The sin of concealing the truth. The sin of misconstruing intentions. The sin of exaggerating minor faults. The sin of perverting the truth to wrong meaning. This is what is happening all the time. The lies and the propaganda which the ANC has to propagate on a daily basis to distract people from their own looting of the economy, state capture, lying, stealing, all their broken promises. They've got to continually exaggerate the faults of the party. They've got to misconstrue intentions. They've got to, in every case, conceal the truth. Conceal the truth that we had a high standard of living. We had higher life expectancy. Black people were better educated and safer under apartheid. They had higher medical standards. They had higher educational standards. They didn't need burglar bars and security gates in Soweto or in Guguleto and Lange in the old apartheid days. They lived safer. The ANC has not improved anything in this country for the average person. All they've done is improve life for the criminals on top who've looted the economy. And they've stolen everything. And what's going on to South African Airways and Eskom and Telkom and all other state-run enterprises, it's just part of what we talk about. So to distract, if a pickpocket wants to pick your pocket or steal your handbag, he needs to distract you, or another member of the team needs to distract you so that they can get away with the pickpocketing. To loot an entire country takes a lot of distraction. And I don't mind so much when communists lie. You expect communists to lie, of course. This is what Lenin said. Vladimir Lenin said, to tell the truth is a petty bourgeois habit, but to lie and to lie convincingly is a sign of superior intelligence. Treaties are like pie crusts, made to be broken. So communists treat lying as an art form to be refined. They have no interest in truth. So I don't so much mind communist lying. That's what I expect. What I do mind is when Christians repeat the lies because they have just been indoctrinated to it, whether it's because they're watching SATV, which is the voice of the ANC, or whether they're reading the mindless garbage in the newspapers which just regurgitates the lies and propaganda and distractions and deceptions of the government, or CNN, the Clinton News Network, or BBC, the Bolshevik Broadcasting Network, or whether you're talking about the Sly magazine, Newspeak, Useless News and World Report, the Cape Crimes or the Sunday Crimes. All of these news media entities are therefore disinformation, not just misinformation. Misinformation is a mistake, typographical error that happens, unintentional. But disinformation is deliberate. They have departments of disinformation in communist governments. In fact, every communist party has got a department of disinformation, where they create disinformation. And many, many people continue to repeat the disinformation of the communists in order to distract people from their own crimes. And so you can get so many things in history. Just take, for example, one of the classic things that's given over and over again. The Reichstag fire in February 1933 was a false flag operation where the German government itself burnt down its own parliament and blamed it on the communists. Now, nobody at the time questioned that the communists burnt down the Reichstag. They had 20% of the votes in the 1933 elections. 20%, that's about 5 to 6 million voters in Germany were communist supporters. They had a lot of communist supporters, and a communist supporter was found there, obviously guilty of the Reichstag fire. Know his name, got his picture, he was prosecuted for it and so on. And the communists at the time accepted that they did it, and they were championing, and this is only right, this is their backlash over having lost the election to the nationalists. And of course, these are the people who had seized Berlin in 1919 in an attempted Bolshevik revolution, and Munich, who had murdered the royal family in Russia, who had murdered millions of people already up to that stage in Russia, who had done assassinations all over Europe. In fact, they were still going to assassinate the greatest hero of the revolution, Leo Trotsky. He was going to get literally axed in Mexico City by the NKVD. And yet, somewhere during the Second World War, it was found useful by the communists to call this a false flag operation. Nobody really believed it, but from 1945, it started to become gospel truth. The Reichstag fire was a false flag, and so people were regularly lifted up as an example of, you know, this is where a government destroys its own parliament in order to have an excuse to crack down the communists. And yet there'd been investigative journalists, British investigative journalists and others, British military intelligence, others investigated, and they were all convinced the Reichstag fire was done by the communists. But because it suited the propaganda after the war to totally demonize their enemy and to exonerate their ally, the Soviets, they started to, you know, these poor communists being misunderstood and to assume that they would do something as heinous as burning down the parliament of the country. You know, arson. What communists would ever dream of doing an act of arson? And so these sort of lies have suddenly got written into world history, even though the historians and investigative journalists and the people on the ground at the time, the investigators, the police and so on, all knew the communists had done it. But somehow, by sleight of hand, the propagandists take the floor, and instead of taking what the investigative journalists at the science said, and the forensics and all the rest, and who got the game, they somehow now come out with something which is just accepted. And time and again you get people who say, and as I heard just this week, Mandela saved this country from civil war. Well, actually, no, that's more like Dr. Buthelezi and General Constant Viljoen saved this country from civil war, because they made arrangements which required a whole lot of safeguards to be put into place. And yet Mandela gets the credit. Yet Mandela admitted at the time, while he was present, he said, remember, the whites still control the police, the army, and the economy. I can't do everything I want to do in my 5 years, but my successor can do many of these things. So he would say to his own supporters, remember, I don't control the police and army or the economy yet. The first 5 years, this is why the so-called Mandela years, many people say, oh, it wasn't that bad. He didn't have the power to do everything he wanted to, but he chose Thabo Mbeki and Cyril Ramaphosa as his number two and number three. And he chose Cyril Ramaphosa as number four. He put Cyril Ramaphosa in charge of drafting the Constitutional Assembly and so on. He chose the very people who followed him exactly. And so people say, well, Mbeki was bad and Zuma was terrible, but Mandela was great. Well, who chose them? Mandela put them in that position. Mandela also dismantled the civil service, closed down the nurses' training colleges, closed down the teacher training colleges, legalized abortion, pornography, homosexuality, put that even in the constitution and so on. He's the one who started the rot. And it was his followers like Thabo Mbeki who then took away and dismantled the commando structure, which had protected the farmers for 300 years, and all the things that followed. So, if we could just have people standing for the truth, speaking the truth, evaluating things properly. You've got the scripture teaching us that Satan is deceiving the nations. If you find yourself in a full agreement with the United Nations, you need to stop and carefully consider where you've been deceived. global warming, sexism, racism, broad-based black economic empowerment, affirmative action, alternative lifestyles, evolution, atheism, socialism. If you find yourself in agreement with the United Nations on these and a whole host of other issues, then you've been deceived, exactly as is warned in the scripture. If you agree with the world on these big issues, then Satan's deceived you. Just think who we are agreeing with. When people want to take the standard textbook answers on anything from the Second World War through to South Africa, Rhodesia, decolonization, all these different issues, if we agree with them, we're in agreement with cocaine-sniffing pedophiles, rapists, and perverts like Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Steven Spielberg, low-life scum who have literally raped children to death, who have been involved in occultic activities, some of the most vile, antichrist, blaspheming pagans on the planet. And we want to believe they're right. And a whole lot of decent Christian people in jail for questioning these facts of history. They are wrong. The Bible is wrong. God is wrong. Jesus is wrong. But we can't question what these Hollywood people say because, gee, they look like such nice people. They've got nice hairstylists and these nice gold statues that they get to swap around. You know, you get these billionaires swapping gold statues with one another at the Oscars, and people think that means something. It's a mutual backslapping public relations exercise. Propaganda, the planned, calculated manipulation of public opinion to serve political and ideological interests, is pervasive. Prop agenda aims to do people's thinking for them. Propaganda is not just propaganda, now it's propaganda. It's not only controlling what people think, but what they think about and how they think about it. All of this is now coming from one side to the other. If you don't support gay rights, which is privileges for perverts, gays have the exactly same rights anyone else has and always have had. Equality before the law, right to life, right to fair trial, things like this, right to own property, right to vote. They always had the same rights, but now they've got privileges for perverts. If you don't support privileges for perverts, then you're a homophobic, narrow-minded, hateful bigot. Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion. And if you dare to suggest that Islam is violent and intolerant, you're a mean, intolerant homophobe, Islamophobe, and you'll receive death threats or worse. If you don't accept the politically correct fairy tale for grown-ups, evolution, then you're unscientific. A whole lot of time and a whole lot of nothing made everything. From goo to the zoo to you, from molecules to mud to monkeys to man. And if you demand evidence for these unproven assertions or advocate intelligent design, then you're an ignorant, unscientific fool. And you're too dangerous to allow as a teacher or lecturer in state-controlled schools and universities. If you oppose abortion, then you're against women's rights. If you insist on calling it the killing of a baby, you might one day be prosecuted for hate speech. It's a product of conception, or POC. And if you refer to an abortion, you've got to call it a TOP, termination of pregnancy. You mustn't call it aborting a baby. If you insist on equal rights for unborn babies, then you're anti-choice. And you should never expect to be promoted or appointed to any senior position in a government hospital, and you might even expect to be prosecuted or fired. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Secular humanist indoctrination requires that you use politically correct euphemisms. Racial discrimination must now be called black economic empowerment or affirmative action. Sexual perversion must be called alternative lifestyles. Looting of farms and murder farms must be called land reform. Killing of babies is called removal of the product of conception or termination of pregnancy or TOP. Killing old or sick people is called euthanasia. Censorship is now to be called the Information Bill. George Orwell, in his book 1984, described it as newspeak and thought control, with thought police prosecuting thought crimes. The American journalist Walter Lippmann wrote, "The art of democracy requires the manufacture of consent." The manufacture of consent. Karl Marx declared, "The first battlefield is the rewriting of history," which is why our mission has moved into so much of that battle. Writing history books, dealing with these issues, because this is part of what spiritual warfare requires, standing for the truth, opposing lies, exposing falsehood and disinformation, Vladimir Lenin, in his book What Is to Be Done, required the Communist Party to use propaganda to indoctrinate the educated and the intelligent masses, and to use agitation, the use of slogans, stories, and selected half-truths to exploit the grievances of the uneducated and ignorant masses. So you have propaganda for the educated, and you have agitation for the uneducated. Every unit in the Communist Party, he said, has to have an agitation propaganda department. Deceit in propaganda is justified, said Vladimir Lenin in this book, because the end justifies the means. Treaties are like pie crusts made to be broken. On almost every level, any day of the week, you will find that you are being deceived. Through the news media, through the entertainment industry, deceit is their stock and trade, and especially films that are based on a true story or inspired by true events, which means some of this might have happened. The names and the places are true, but the facts have been changed to protect the guilty and to demonize the innocent. This is what so-called historically based films really have become. You can always tell when a politician is lying. His lips move. And when he dies, he lies still. In fact, as Bill Bathman said, the only good politician is the dead one. Because while they're alive, you only hear scandals, all kinds of scandals, theft and so on. The moment they die, you suddenly hear what wonderful people are. He said, so evidently, the only good politician is the dead one. There are numerous telltale signs to look for when it comes to propaganda. But propaganda can be subtle, but it's always aimed at emotions. Oversimplification, emotionalism, sentimentality are dead giveaways of propaganda. They focus in on one thing. They ignore the context. Like it might be shame, this poor person is on the way to the shop to buy milk and the police shot them for no reason. I mean, there was a riot. They were necklacing people to death. The police didn't shoot the people necklacing people and stoning cars. No, no. They shot the poor little boy who's on his way to the shop to buy milk, who'd never done anything wrong. We know that because grandmother said so. And that's what the media focus on. Not the fact that even this week, even this weekend, mothers and married couples have been killed by rioting mobs throwing rocks on the highways, murdering people, stabbing them, torturing them to death for hours in farms. This week that's happened. But forget that. Let's look at some poor little take out of all context. Just like in America when they had this criminal shot by policemen while robbing a shop. And they put out a picture of him when he was 12 years old. He looked like quite a nice boy. Not what he looked like now, a big tattooed, evil-looking drug addict criminal. They put out deliberately deceiving pictures in order to, you know, the policeman shot this little child. He wasn't a 12-year-old anymore. He didn't look like that anyway. And they didn't show the picture of the real person. And that's the kind of deception they will do. They will show you the policeman, say, hitting somebody without telling you what the criminal was doing beforehand. As famously happened, I was in America when the Rodney King assault took place, and they showed over and over. In America, you can get this 24-hour cycle, just non-stop people just seeing over and over the policeman, four policemen, white policemen, of course, hitting this black man, Rodney King, on the ground. And, you know, it looked like for no reason. One poor black man minding his own business, beaten time and again by these horrible white men. But what they didn't show is the whole video. The whole video shows this black criminal hyped up in drugs attacking these policemen. And the police using every possible... They could have shot him. But they used all the restraint they were trained to use. They tried the electric shock. They tried the stun guns. They tried... And in the end, they were reduced to nightsticks. And this chap was attacking them again and again. He'd be up again attacking them again. And they edited out all his attacks to just put the police's response, not what they're responding to. And as a result of this falsehood in the media, tens of thousands of blacks around America went looting, burning shops, burning whole neighborhoods, went on rampage, stoning vehicles because the media encouraged them to. You're a victim. And somehow it's the white people's fault. And as white policemen were found innocent in a court of law, and they wouldn't accept it. They had to go back and this time only have black jurors who could convict them. You're not allowed to have double jeopardy. But the laws just went to the, by the bay, by side, because, in fact, as everyone who knew anything about it said, These policemen were just doing their duty and they were using minimum force against an extremely dangerous, violent criminal. And this Rodney King since has been arrested for other crimes because he's a lifelong criminal. He's a habitual career criminal. But most people will forget the context. Most people have never seen the whole video. They just remember the images that were thrown at them that gave the false impression. And so it is all throughout our country. Alternative opinions are forbidden. When you come across forcefulness and authoritarianism, giving condemnation to any alternative viewpoint, you can be sure you're dealing with indoctrination, not education. Propagandists tend to use and reuse short, catchy slogans to communicate their agenda. Repetitivity, it's like a mantra after a while. You know, blacks are victims, whites are guilty, and so on. All whites are racist. No blacks can be racist. Only whites can be racist, and all whites are racist. And all men are trash, and so on and so forth. And you know the mantras, we get them all the time. The whole point is one-sided generalizations, always or never, type of extremism, is propaganda. There is only one side of the story when it comes to classic propaganda. Can't get both sides. And so lies and omissions and distortions are a hallmark of propaganda. All right-thinking people agree. No one in their right mind would deny. Scientists have confirmed. Those who care for the poor agree. All freedom-loving people want to see. I mean, these are the words of propaganda. This is how they try to stampede people into agreeing with their agenda. Or in 1984 and Animal Farm, four legs good, two legs bad. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others, and so on and so forth. Interesting that George Orwell represented the Communist Party as the pigs and the KGB as the dogs. George Orwell didn't dream up Animal Farm. He saw it in action and he used this as a parable to communicate what he saw happening in the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin in the 1930s. And George Orwell used to be a communist and with the zeal of a convert exposed the heart of communism in 1984 and in Animal Farm. Those who claim to stand for freedom are actually the most oppressive in history. Those who claim to want to uplift the poor actually oppress the poor worse than any others in history. Those who claim to champion world peace have caused more wars, more bloodshed, and more massacres of civilians than any other. The more they talk of freedom, the more you can be sure they're slaves of corruption. 2 Peter 2 verse 19. They promise them liberty while they themselves are slaves of corruption. So deceptive language is the stock and trade. Civilian casualties are called collateral damage. Murder is called liquidation or termination. Terror bombing of cities is called saturation bombing or strategic bombing campaign. Starvation of civilian populations is called an economic blockade or sanctions. Scientology speaks about those people who've come through their programs as clear, and those people who not are labeled toxic. Frequently you encourage, if it feels good, do it, or follow your heart. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says, only a fool trusts in his own heart. And yet Hollywood, especially Disney, has made an absolute mantra out of follow your heart. It can't be bad if it feels so good. Follow your heart. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Proverbs 28 verse 26 should be written across all of our discernment. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. His heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. These people who think that the heart is good. No, the heart is not good, and the heart can continually deceive us. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil, and madness is in their heart. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 3. We're living in an age of deception. They have refined, this must be the most propagandized age in history. Never has there been so much propaganda, so much disinformation, so many lies told in schools, in pulpits, and on the screen, on the stage, and by governments. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us if we say we have not sinned. For from within, Jesus said, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, and amongst it he puts deceit. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, murders, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. These come from the heart. So we're continually told by the secular humanists, man is good. Society corrupts him. So we need to change the laws and change society to make people good. This is the heart of socialism, of the socialist new man. This is the heart of humanism. I'm a good person. I've got a good heart. It's society's fault. Nothing's my fault. Everything is society, the fault of my parents or society. But I've got a good heart. This is what secular humanists say time and again. But Jesus says, the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful. Evil comes from the heart of man. And John tells us we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us if we think that we are a good person. And we have these messages coming at us time and again. Do not be deceived. You will know the truth and truth will set you free. We need to develop an intolerance for lies, propaganda, and half-truths. We need to put on the belt of truth. We need to stand for the truth. We need to defend the truth. We need to expose lies. Because the truth sets people free. Truth will conquer. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you and we want to praise you. That the day will come when one of your angels will bind Satan that he might deceive the nations no more. Help us, Lord God, not to allow Satan to take advantage of us. Help us not to be ignorant of his devices. Help us to recognize Satan's tactics and strategies. Lord, may we not be deceived. May our minds not be corrupted. May you renew our minds by the washing of this word. May we not be blinded by the God of this age. Lord, may the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shine on us. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.